If you'd like to listen to the full episode, please subscribe to our newsletter called Venture Notes. And before going into the episode today, here are some benefits about being a Venture Notes Premium member. First of all, do you know that Premium members get their NFT member pass? This NFT will open the door to private access to events, content, and so much more yet to be designed. It's a long journey. The first 50 member access pass collection could be considered as the OG collection, the Genesis collection. And second of all, Premium members are also invited to join our early stage startup syndicate called Olive Capital, where we mostly support pre-seed to Series A startups in the EU and in the US in B2B SaaS, crypto, and consumer tech. We are embracing the model of a media-driven early stage investor. Please note that Olive Capital does not provide financial advice. You need to carefully consider your own financial situation and take a risk diversification approach. While the return profiles look attractive, members are aware that venture capital is a very difficult asset class where all the invested capital is at risk. And now let's move into the show.
Perfect. And thank you so much for those introductions. I think we can jump right in. And as I think everyone is well aware, is that the Runway Series Summit has been looking at the fundamentals of success. And as mentioned, diversity and inclusion is no doubt a part of that. And I'd be curious just to kick things off with hearing perspectives on what is success defined in terms of diversity and inclusion. It's obviously a wide field and lends itself to many different perspectives. So I'd be curious to begin there. And how about starting with Alice?
Yeah, of course. The way we see it, and I'll preface the conversation by saying that we're a fully US-based company. And so diversity is understood very differently than it could be in France. But for us, the success for diversity is really making sure that we have a team that is pulling experiences and insights from a lot of different backgrounds. So whether that's finding people who are, we only hire in the US right now, but outside of the big hubs, obviously people of different races and different colors, people of different genders, and making sure as well that the diversity is represented not just in the company, but at all levels of the company. So in the management layer, but also below. This is how we've been tracking success so far in terms of diversity. And then obviously making sure that that has consequences in how we hire and making sure that diversity is also present in our funnel. And how we communicate overall. So how we, you know, talk about our clients and about, we have an assistant service. So we work with about 100 assistants based in the US. And so how we showcase stories about different types of assistants and clients.
Fantastic. And Camille, you had an interesting mission at Utopia that you defined yesterday. Could you actually add on to that?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So our mission is to back companies that are good for me, good for society, good for the planet. And so we think, in a way, working toward that mission implies diversity because we want everyone to fit in the world. So in a way, it's I think naturally we're trying to work for that.
Fantastic. And Edouard, you also present the founder perspective as well in creating a company and one in Europe and recently started some operations in the United States, correct?
That's right. So I think, I mean, I can talk about the success in DEI and just focus more on the geographical expansion. I think our biggest learning recently was that, and as Alice mentioned, the perspective about diversity is very different. If you talk with, let's say, your French colleagues, your American colleagues, or your Great Britain-based colleagues. And that's something we realized essentially when we started to formalize our diversity and inclusion policy. So by default, we never wanted to create a Franco-French company. And that's something that we're very clear about with Clément, my co-founder, when we launched Convelio. And so we never had to formalize it, but then when you arrive in the US, actually people are kind of, and rightfully so, saying, well, guys, do you have a DEI policy? What's the policy? And so we had to kind of really started to work on that. I think biggest challenge is really about kind of the perspective that you have when you talk about diversity. Diversity in Europe is very much about kind of, you come from a different country, potentially a different socioeconomic background, but much less about ethnicity. And I think that's something we touched about yesterday, is that essentially ethnicity France is not really something that you can consider. It's not something that you can get data about in France, especially. While in the US, it's something that you have to get data about, essentially, and really try to understand, well, do we have enough African-Americans? Do we have enough Hispanic people? And so on and so on. And yeah, so that was kind of like the kind of very different perspective. And I think also when it comes to understanding of diversity, meaning that was one point also we discussed yesterday, which is kind of color blindness, right? How do you perceive diversity? How important is it for you to notice that there is races and different races versus not having that difference? And in France, having one race is, I mean, there is only one race for French people, at least that's the way it's being taught at school. While in the US, if you have that perspective, it's kind of essentially a bad way of looking at it because you don't acknowledge the fact that people can be different, right? So that was kind of the big challenge for us and something we've been working on a lot over the past couple of weeks.
Very interesting. And then Olivier, how about yourself?
Thanks, Catherine. So, I mean, I guess Citizen is a venture for impact fund, which means that I guess diversity and inclusion is as much a question of internal policy. We need to walk the talk and you know and do what we say we do, as much as it is about a question of strategy. And diversity and inclusion is part of our investment strategy. So we invest in businesses who solve major environmental and social issues. And we look at it in a number of ways, but I guess two things which are really important and which have an impact on diversity and inclusion is how the product performs and who is using the product. And when it comes to who and the go-to-market, we are very opinionated about how having diversity and inclusion at the core of the company can bring economic benefits. And it is, as a third point, a matter of incentive within Citizen. As we draw transformation plans with our founders for our society, and part of those transformation plans have objectives on diversity and inclusion, and it is only if we hit those targets that we receive 50% of our carried interest. So it is there's very strong alignment within the firm, not only as a matter of policy but also as a matter of investment strategy and compensation to the team around diversity and inclusion.
Very interesting. And we kind of touched on this in our conversations yesterday, just preparing where, what are your thoughts around quote unquote incentivizing diversity or incorporating, I guess even just that as a topic, I suppose.
For us, with our founders, it's a matter of, it's something that we discuss during boards because it's part of the strategy of some of the businesses that we invest in. So if I had to take a few examples, we invested about 2 years ago in a company called Lolilo, which provides a literacy software for teachers at school. And there is nothing more important than literacy to provide to ensure that or to promote diversity and inclusion in our society. And two things that we had very interesting discussion with the founders during those boards were, one, the business model. How can this software have more impact, particularly for those schools or teachers who can't pay for the software, who can't pay for the whole software? And so the founders decided to have a freemium approach to it. And that meant that we had, at the peak of COVID crisis, we had around 700,000 children learning how to read on a daily basis on their software, even though we probably only had 25,000 paid users. Mm. And so it had a huge impact on social and diversity. And that was the first point. And second point is when it came to product strategy, we pushed the founders to promote within their product roadmap some features that would be particularly useful to children from the Hispanic community in the US. And there were language barriers to using their product for those kids. And so they had to adapt the product. And adapting the product also had a business benefit because those children composed around 10% of the TAM that they were looking at. So so going to your question is how do we think about it? For us, it's kind of our bread and butter to discuss those topics with the founders, and we find it much less cumbersome than people would think.
Very interesting. And I saw a couple of you guys nodding along just before I jump ahead to the next question. Does anybody want to add to Olivier's comments? That then, we've already touched on topics of discussing diversity. And then obviously the panel inherently represents a founder and investor perspective. And I'd be curious with this question twofold.
This episode is an excerpt from the full episode that you can find at summit.runwayseries.co, summit.runwayseries.co.